Mind Gap Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to Mind Gap. I'm Doug.
And I'm Justin. And Doug, would you rather have ghosts or roaches in your house?
This depends. Because what kind of ghosts are we talking about here? Are we talking about poltergeist, you know, where you got fucking ghosts inhabiting clown dolls and trying to strangle your kids under their bed, you know, fucking, you know, all sorts of wild shit happening, you know? If there's that, I'll take roaches over that any day of the week, because you know what? Roaches can be exterminated. You know what? I make one call. They come by. They fucking take care of the roaches. Is it going to cost me a little bit? Sure. You got a ghost that's wrecking your life, wrecking your sanity. Sorry. There are no Ghostbusters. Sorry to break it to you, but that ain't the real deal. So,
hey, you got a ghost that's wrecking your sanity? Too bad. Ain't no Ghostbusters. Mm-mm. End of commercial.
Not going to happen. So, but if it's just like, we're talking about, you know, a ghost that
like
just gets...
Casper the Friendly Ghost?
Or just like a ghost you don't even see, just in the middle of like of my production, I just see the light flicker. I'm like, Hank, knock it off. All right?
Sorry.
Quit. You know, it's like, if you want, we can talk later. All right? Just not right now. You know?
A ghost that you have really good conversations with.
Yeah. Like that'd
good be nice.
Yeah, right? Someone to talk to. In which case, I would take that over roaches. So, you know.
So for you, this question comes with a caveat.
Yes.
There's no clear. What if it is
Because here's the thing. I don't believe in ghosts. So then I guess I'll go with ghosts. Because I don't think they're
what kind
real.
Of roaches?
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. We're talking like those big hissing motherfuckers. You know,
that's what I'm saying, right? Like, yeah. Are they gigantic fucking roaches or like the little teeny ones?
Yeah.
And is it like two roaches or like a whole colony of roaches?
Well, listen, there's no such thing as just two roaches. I mean,
well,
you know.
I'm just saying, if we're caveating ghosts.
We had one termite trouble in our house. We just had one annoying little termite, you know.
We had termite. Oh, you guys got termites? No. We had termite.
One. Yeah. It's like we had one mouse that was running around this place. Just one.
It's really hard to find them.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. You know? What do you think?
God, here's the thing. Here's the worst part of each. Roaches, just fucking gross, right? Like you open up a cabinet and like 10 roaches fall out. Like that would just skeeve me out. But at the same time, I don't feel like I could take a shit because I'd be like, is this ghost watching me? Like it would just be weird to think that this ghost is watching me all the time. I assume it's a pervy ghost.
You wouldn't be able to, would you get pee shy around it?
I would get everything shy. That's what I'm saying. Like, it would just be hard to do anything because I'm like, stop watching me.
Oh, I would just
I don't know
like,
if you're hanging out.
If I'm like, you know, masturbating or something, I'm like, yeah, Hank, are you watching? Because you should. Get in here, Hank. It's about to happen.
Possess Hank! Me.
You know. Look at me so I can finish. You know, like just.
Hank. Now's your cue. Get inside me.
Yeah. I would try to be as annoying as I could to the ghost, you know?
To the ghost? I guess the big thing is it a murdery ghost or is it a spirit that hasn't moved on kind of, you know, ghost? Is it a normal ghost or is it a murdery ghost?
Ghost? You act like ghosts are just hanging out all the time.
I'm just saying, if you're going to say there can be murdery ghosts, then there's normal ghosts in this world of this question.
Yeah. Yeah, what powers do they have? We talking like Ghost from the movie Ghost, starring Patrick Swayze?
Is it like
Swayze?
Slimer?
Yeah, is it like Slimer?
Where it's
you know?
Just going to leave like shit all over my house? Because if that's the case, it may be roaches.
I'm taking roaches because, again, you can get rid of roaches, you know?
Right.
If we're just talking about, you know, there's so many different variations. My favorite thing is when Natalie will ask me about these things, you know? She'll ask me
about
the
rules. Like she'll
pose
a question like this too?
A rules. I was like, it depends on the mythology we're talking about. She's like, what do you mean? I go, listen, people have all sorts of different rules based on different stories that you read. Like she asked about vampires or werewolves. I'm like,
sure.
Depends on the movie or the book that you read because their weaknesses and strengths, they are long. So
right.
Here's
your general kind of base, but man, Natalie, there are variants.
And I love her. Boy, she's so goddamn curious. She oftentimes will come in while I'm playing a game and she'll just ask me like different things. The most frustrating one was I was playing a tower defense game and she was like, "Dad, why are these monsters trying to attack your tower?" And I was like, "Because that's what the game is." She's like, "Yeah, but why are they trying to destroy your tower?" I'm like, "Natalie, this is a tower defense game. The objective of the game is the computer sends monsters. They try to attack my tower. I don't know their motivation. They come out of the portals." "Well, why they come out of the portals?" "Don't know. That's just how this works. I wasn't given the backstory on this. I just know that I have to kill them. I get money for killing them. And then I build more towers and prevent them from coming to my tower and knocking it down." And she just has to know all the details. I'm just like,
see, it seems to me that that's not a typical answer for you. I would expect you to absolutely launch into a yes and give her some sort of let me tell you about what happened to these monsters prior to my castle being built and just launch into
when I'm in the middle of playing, not interested in making up shit. I'm focused. I'm focused on stuff. And I'm like, but then she's also very helpful. Like I don't know if you're familiar with the game Helldivers 2. It's all the rage right now. It's quite an awesome game.
I've heard people speak of it.
It's a cool game. It's basically like a good version of Starship Troopers, you essentially come from Super Earth, and the game literally starts with a propaganda film about why you should become a hell diver and spread democracy. And your tutorial is just it shows you how to play the game, but you realize that like within the mythos of this world, like you are being so poorly trained to go out and do stuff. And they just like, you basically show up and you do missions. And when your character dies, that character's dead. And then they drop pod in like another. And the idea is that like, you're not an individual. You are just like all these different people that are coming in to spread democracy on these planets full of bugs and Terminators.
Okay.
And your voice changes. Like you may be like a man that's being like, "Yeah, take that for democracy." And then all of a sudden next, when you die and come and you get drop potted back in, you may sound like a woman's, because the point is you are just one of millions, if not billions, of humans that are being propagandized into joining the Helldivers to be heroes, and you're just getting shot into the shit to fight these wild ass stuff.
Very much like Edge of Tomorrow. Just like, hey, we're grabbing everyone and good luck to you.
Yeah. And it's like the tips are full of propaganda. It's so funny. It's like, if you've heard that by failing a mission that you'll end up in a re-education camp, those are just lies. Like, it's like, you know.
I love this. This is
reports that say the stims that heal you are addictive are completely false. Use them as much as you want. Like, just. It's like, at first, if you don't succeed, dive again. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Like it's a fantastic game. It's really, really cool. And
it's insanity though, right? Because I saw this meme of there was that one time Trump just started talking gibberish, and it said like me trying to explain Helldivers to my buddies, and it's like
and then the missiles, and then that's. Pretty good description of the game, because also lots of friendly fire in this game. You will absolutely blow each other up, because you can call in orbital strikes. You can call it. So like fucking giant laser beams will be shooting down from the sky.
Cast fireball.
There's basically napalm that you can drop. And if people are not aware of what you're doing, because if you're playing with randoms, people don't communicate. They just drop shit. So before you know it, like the whole place explodes. And you're like, okay, well,
great, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. And there's so much friendly fire. There's actually a tooltip of that says, hey, just remember, friendly fire isn't.
I would love to write for the tooltip. Like,
yeah.
Well, I must have had a blast on that. That sounds really fun. I would say, hey, is it available crop play? But I'm tired of being disappointed. So
yeah, I don't think that would run well on a Mac. But what's cool about it too is
you don't think so?
No. What's cool about it too is it's designed to play with multiplayer. I first fired it up and I played by myself. I'm like, this game's fucking insanely hard. Like, I couldn't finish the missions. It's like, you're not supposed to play it by yourself, dummy. You're supposed to play it with other people. With and I was like, oh, fine. I'll play with other people. I'm like, oh, this is much better. But what's cool is, like, they give you objectives, and in real time, like, there's planets that are being invaded by the monsters. And you have to, like, the more you spend on a planet, you can achieve liberation of that planet. And if you ignore it, then they can get taken over by the enemy, which is really, really cool. So
interesting. Okay.
So there's, like, actual, you know, you go to different planets, and there's a bunch of different planets to play on. They give you stats of how many hell divers have died in action on that planet, how many shots have been fired. Like, it's insane. It's a very fun and cool game. I'm hoping to play that maybe for this week's video game stream.
Oh, that'd be a blast. I mean, if you get that crew together, that'd be an absolute blast.
Yeah.
What was fun. There was a game came out a while. I feel like we talked about it, but it was a game that. It was cross-platform in the sense that, like, PC could play with console. You could airstrike. Like, one game you could be in the air and one game you could be on the ground and you had to communicate to each other. And it was like,
it was
do you remember
Dust,
what I'm talking about?
It was connected with Eve. It was Dust 414 or something like that.
So it was connected with Eve.
Yeah. The Got idea, because in Eve, which is a space, you know, sci-fi game, you spend all the time in space. But you can colonize planets for yourself and then extract the resources. And the company, the software company, created a sister game to it, which it was a first-person shooter, where you could hire mercenaries to go down on the planet and take over different aspects from another player. And those players would be paid the currency from Eve to basically outfit their guys and get better. It was a really interesting, I don't think it's still going, but it was a really cool idea to be like, hey, these things are connected and there's two different gameplay styles. It's very interesting.
Those are the kind of like that and held out, like any game that like pushes how games are played or just the concept of what, like, I always find those the most interesting style of games.
Helldivers really cool 2 is another game I wish we could play together because not only is it like challenging in a good way, it's you fight against two different groups. There's like just space bugs and the other one are basically Terminators. And it is fucking intense at times because they just start pouring, like bugs will just start bursting out of the ground, attacking you. And you're like, oh my God. And you're just like, and you just, and the thing is you have a certain amount of ammo. Then you got to call in supply drops to get more ammo. And you got to be very tactical with your loadouts. Like if someone, like you can work together to be like, all right, what are you, cause I can call down sentry guns. They'll just start firing shit or, again, napalm, carpet bomb. There's, you know, super weapons you can give yourself. If you get high enough level, you can call down like a fucking mech and get in the mech and just be like. And those things just light shit up, man. It's crazy. And the harder difficulties you do, they net you more currency and more experience, but obviously way more difficult enemies as you go along. And the missions that are available, like you got to go destroy a Titan. Like fucking insect that's gigantic and you're like, go kill that. I'm like, okay.
You got it.
It feels very fun. It feels very cool and it's very enjoyable. So it's a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to playing that hopefully with the crew this coming Friday. Which reminds me, gang, I host a video game stream on Fridays. Sometimes Saturdays, like I did last time. So keep your eyes peeled for that stuff. YouTube.com/MindGapPodcast. Also check that out. Hit the like, hit the subscribe button for all our good stuff. We've got all of our episodes are there. Full episodes released on Fridays, audios on Mondays on all podcast platforms. You can see clips from the show, shorts, and all that good stuff. YouTube.com/MindGapPodcast. If you have a question you think we should answer at the top of the show, head over to our Discord. Link is in the description down below. Recently overhauled, a little more seamless isn't the word I'm thinking.
It looks good.
It's a special shout out to Noah for helping me like restructure that. It looks good. But you could just fire a question that you want us to start off with at the start of the show. Head on in there and do that. And check links in the description for other things like our Patreon and our merch. Take care of business. Business has been taken care of. Business is served. Customers are happy. I rest my case, Your Honor.
Now it's time to make the advertisers happy.
That's right. Hey, you!
What?
Shut the fuck up and listen. Have you ever wanted more followers on the internet? Well, you can have them. My name is Trent Dickerson, and I've got loads of followers. just go to my website, tdixloads.com, and sign up for free, and I will give you a personal consultation to see how many followers you need and when. When the time comes, all you have to do is pay a flat rate of $99, and I'll send over all the followers as discussed. That's tdixloads.com, where followers come.
So, Doug, what I was going to say before we did the call-outs is I thought you'd appreciate this. Beth came home the other day from work and asked, she goes, have you ever heard of, is it Warhammer 40? And I go,
oh, shit.
Warhammer 40K? And she goes, yeah, that's it. I go, I have, continue.
You're like, goes, Beth, be very careful what you say to me next, because this could go to a place you don't want to go and you can never come back from.
I said, do not let Doug know you know about this. Okay. He will talk your ear off.
He's got a YouTube page where David Attenborough explains everything to you, you know, about Warhammer 40K.
Very long videos, very long.
But super informative.
But wonderfully done. Mm-hmm. I was talking to one of my colleagues and he had mentioned that how much he loves this. And he said he was getting a new tattoo and I asked of what, and he said of this game that he loves. So I was just wondering, he said it was real nerdy and I was wondering if you knew about it. I said, I'll tell you what. So next time Doug and the family comes up, we have a new friend to introduce Doug to.
Oh boy.
I said, Doug needs to meet this person.
Well, here's the thing. For sure. I've played Warhammer 40K one time on the tabletop, but I'm very familiar with the universe. I've played the computer games and
you
things
love
like
the
that.
Lore. Yeah.
I'm very excited for the Henry Cavill Warhammer 40K show that's coming out. Looking forward to that. But yeah, if he's like, what's your favorite army? I'd be like, listen, man, like never actually really played it, but I do enjoy the universe. So
here's the thing. That's
probably
one of those,
talk with it. You
that's
know?
One of those things I feel like you could talk about at length having played it one time. And you could probably fool someone.
If we get into the nitty gritty of it all, like actual talking about armies and stuff like that, I'm like, I'm not going to be able to do that with you. But I'll tell you what I like about the lore all day long. And all that sort of stuff. But if you're getting to be like, you know, what I really like about my point system loadout is the Adeptus Mechanicus. I'm like, all right, I'm out. I can't do that. Like, I know what that is, but I can't contribute to that conversation. So,
That's well, regardless, I found a new friend for you.
And Jared sent me a video today of a woman. She's like, I'm going to go mess with my husband real quick. He's setting up a game of Warhammer with his buddy and I'm gonna go see if he'll let me play. And she's like, well, I'm saying, she goes, hey, what are you doing? He's like, oh, just setting stuff up. She's like, do you think I could play with you guys today? And he just looked up and he smiles and he's like, you don't want to do that. She goes, no, I really want to do it. And he's like, he's looking at her like, don't go down this road. Because he's like, don't threaten me with a good time. He's like,
right.
She's like, can I play with you? Like, is that allowed? He goes, listen, I'll make an exception and I'll get you into the game if you want to do it. She's like, really? He goes, yeah, I'll get you set in. The customer going, God damn it, I thought he was going to tell me no.
she's roped.
He's looking at it, he's like, hey, if you're taking an interest in this, he's like, I'm not going to tell you no, but just know what you're about to walk into is some shit, you know?
You're probably not going to like what we're about to do.
Yeah, you're going to fucking lose your mind at all the rules for this. So, yeah, have fun. Justin, did you hear about the old man who found his old bass in an attic?
No. And I don't know how I didn't hear about this.
You seriously haven't heard about this?
I thought
you would have heard about this.
I thought so too.
This guy apparently is like a hobbyist. Like he's just kind of like enjoys basses. And I guess like 50 years ago, he lost one. And turns out it was just like in the attic of he was like over in the UK or something. It was like just in some fucking bar attic. And it was like a big deal in the news. And it was this guy, Paul McInerney, I think is his name.
I think we give that one more shot.
Paul McInerney.
It's close. It's very close.
Oh, so you did hear about this?
I think the Liverpudlian pronunciation is McCartney.
Oh,
that's it's a
race car driver.
Thing. Right. Get back here. It's like very glottal in the back of the throat.
Right. Yeah. He's a race car driver who plays bass in his spare time, and he fucking lost it. Just left on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And then some guy just,
he got drunk in a pub and just left it laying there.
Yeah. You know, he's playing, you know, just doot, and then he left it. And then I was like, what a big deal. And someone said for some reason, someone just likes, you know, NASCAR so much that they're like, we should look into this and see if we can find this guy's base, this old man leaving this behind. And then they found it.
You're doing such a good job with this.
Yeah. It's apparently some big mystery that they just found out. And it's like, he just left it in some pub, you know, that was it. So I thought, you like NASCAR. I figured this would be a good thing to talk about.
I don't like NASCAR. I love NASCAR, first off.
Yeah, okay. Ride or die, baby. Number 44. All day.
Dick Trickle.
All the way, all baby. Day. All never day. Never stop stopping. You know what I mean?
Never. That's it. Always turn left. Always turn left. That's what they say. That's old wisdom from back in the old NASCAR days.
If you remember one thing, it's turn left. You know?
Turn left. Always turn left. Otherwise,
you're in trouble.
Right.
Yeah, I heard this story and I was like, oh. Justin probably heard about this, Paul McCartney.
100%. First off, cannot fucking stand the layout of this page. This page.
I don't know what page you're on.
The one that you, the sun?
The one I didn't link anything to it.
Oh, it's not. Okay. Sorry. I found it myself.
I was like, I didn't, because the whole point was for me to like try and like softball this in there. Like, did you hear about this old man that lost his bass? And you're like, what?
Well, hey, yeah, and this is me going, well, I better look this up for Doug's, and you wanted to trick me. I'm so sorry.
And then he's like, hey, this website sucks. I didn't pull it up. You did.
Doug, it's been a very long day. I'm sure the sun sucks. I apologize.
It's not a good publication.
Yeah. Here we go. Oh, yeah, this one's much more consolidated. Oh yeah.
So were you familiar with this lore?
No, I had not heard about this at all. This is brand new story for me.
I figured for someone as big of a Beatles fan as you'd be like, oh yeah, the bass. They found the bass.
Look, I'm surprised that I did not know about this for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Have you read?
I'm familiar with the story.
Can you give me the story? I intentionally
didn't put a link there because I didn't want you to look ahead at the time because I want to do to you what you do to me about Blink-182, you piece of shit.
Well, look. In fairness, I feel like this bit has gone exactly how it should have gone.
100%. I consider this a win. So apparently, 50 years ago, Paul McCartney's bass got stolen. They had their trailer. They were playing a show. And got broken into, and his bass got stolen. And for 50 years, people have been wondering, where the fuck is this bass? And apparently a couple of humble investigators thought they'd take up the task. They started sleuthing around, and ultimately they were able to uncover where this bass was. And apparently it was in the attic of a pub, and still in pretty good condition. And McCartney, I think, was in touch with, I forget the name of the company, the bass. I can't remember, but he has a particular
Hofner.
Hofner. Like he's always used those basses, and he talked to his contact over there. And you know, I guess that guy was originally like, man, have you ever, you know, found this thing or whatever? And Paul's like, no.
Perfect.
Thank you. So they looked into it and they were able to verify with Hofner that like, yeah, this is it. This is the bass. And
this is the one.
Yeah. And he got it back and he was like tickled to death. Like, holy shit, this is it. This is the thing. It's been missing and they found it. And I was like, this is big news for these Beatles dorks out there. They're like, where did it go? You know?
Yeah. I'm ashamed. I'm absolutely ashamed that I did not realize this. Accomplished. This is the thing. So thank you for that. But yeah, no, it is. It's like if you look at any of the old pictures of the Beatles, like that's the bass that he's playing. Like you'd know instantly when you saw it. You're like, oh yeah, that's the Paul bass. Like even non-Beatles fans, if you've seen a picture of the Beatles, then you've seen this bass. It's that tied to Paul McCartney. So it's good on him, I say, for finding it. Like and making Paul happy. You know what? At the end of the day, you made a pleasant 81-year-old man happy.
Yeah. And I got to say,
how nice is that?
For the people who stole it, shit job. Because here's what I'll say. What did you end up doing with it? Nothing. You didn't sell it.
Right.
You didn't this is Paul. Maybe they didn't know who they were stealing from or whatever, but they just fucking stole a base and then they shoved it up in an attic and left it there. Like,
yeah,
that's just bad. About it, presumably. That's bad thieving as far as I'm concerned. Because the whole point is you're going to steal something with the intent to, I'm assuming, sell it?
Show it off, do something with it. Yeah.
It's hold just
it
collected dust like, for up ransom? In a fucking attic. Like,
yeah.
Terrible job. You know,
like send one of the tuning pegs to Paul McCartney and go, unless you pay us £1 million, we're going to send you piece by piece this bass. And Paul's like, okay, cool. I'll just wait and then I'll put it back together.
Right. And they're like, I didn't think about that. No one said these guys were smart. You know, no, we're going to send you the string one at a time. He's like, oh no, I'll have to restring my bass.
Well, that's unfortunate, but I'll take it.
Yeah. He's like, oh no, what'd you take? Each thing they send him, they're like, it's worth less. He's like, it's worth less now, just so you know. Like,
so you know, you guys are.
That's his negotiation tactic to talk him down until he gets it and he just reassembles it. And he's like, you fucking idiots.
Thanks for me bass.
Yes.
Yeah. Fucking wild, though. Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah. I thought that would be interesting. I heard that and I immediately thought of you. I was like, this has got to be like.
Thank you.
Longstanding Beatles lore that Justin's just been dying to hear all about. And he's like, I didn't fucking know. What?
I'm like. No, old man. Well, here's the thing, because you didn't link anything like you said. So when I first read this, I read old man found his old bass in an attic. And I'm like, is this like a dude that like smelled fish for years and then realized he'd put fish in his attic? Like, oh, I'm shit, like, I don't
forgot
know
about that bass up there.
I thought my house just stunk. And for 50 years, I've smelled fish.
You just kind of get used to it after a while. You know what I mean?
Right. After a while. Look, I can't eat fish, but goddamn it, I don't smell it no more.
It was actually one of those, like, you know, singing bay, you know, fish. That's what he's like, I found you. And it's like, you know, as he turns it on and the battery's dead, he's like, I found you. I missed you so much.
When did he get you new batteries? Do you remember the commercials
for that fucking thing?
Fuck yeah, I do.
Oh, God. It was just like, check out the singing fish. And I was like, haha. Interesting.
It was all those then, like quick pans to the thing as it came forward.
It's like,
yeah.
It's one of those things where you're like, oh, that's interesting.
Take me to the river.
And then when you see someone that owns it, you're like.
Ooh. Well, my grandfather had one. We got it for him as a gag gift for Christmas one year. And it was, I was like, all right. Yeah. So that's going to go in his trailer and we'll have to deal with that at some point.
At some point, we're going to have to take that out and do something with it, you know? Yeah. I just remember the commercials, like, God damn, it's a classic commercial. Speaking of classic stuff, Justin, scientists are apparently one step closer to resurrecting the woolly mammoth. What's up with that, man?
Well, I think that they're so concerned with if they could, they fail to stop and ask the question if they should.
Yeah.
Because I don't think this is necessary.
Yeah, this is really interesting because there's very strong opinions on... why they're doing this. And, you know, one of the common arguments is like, hey, there's a lot of endangered species that need our help that are alive. Why the fuck are you trying to resurrect something that's dead? Like, what's up with that?
Right. Also, yeah, neither of us are experts in the field, but I have to assume that introducing, look, I'll speak for myself. Okay, I am not an expert in the field. Doug does a lot of independent study on his own. He's a very smart man. Spends a lot of time researching Warhammer 40K lore, but does not play the game. You know, time well spent. I have to assume that reintroducing a brand new species of or a brand new animal that has not been around for a very long time is not going to be the best thing you could do to our current ecosystem. I see potential issues arising top to bottom.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I mean, it is closely related to the elephant. So in that regard,
look, I get it.
Do you, Justin?
It's closely related. It's closely related, but it's not the elephant, Doug.
Yeah, but it's a hairy elephant is what it is. If you really want to break it down scientifically, that's what it is. You know,
is that straight out of the biology book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Like, yeah. It's like, well, look, contiguous mammalalis. Harry Elephant.
I'm 0 for 2 tonight, Doug. I'm
it's
sorry.
It's okay. We're going to bring you back around. It's all good, man. We got plenty of time. All right. We got plenty of time. I love it. It's like technical possibility raises ethical concerns. What are you going to get out of this? Asked a professor of geosciences. Like, you know, if you're going to release a herd in the Arctic tundra, is that herd going to be marching off to its second extinction in the face of global warming? Just like.
That's another question.
Yeah.
Is it going to be able to survive? Right. Well, we always talk about, like, if you were able to go back in time.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you all, your whole argument is you would never be able to eat the food.
Yeah.
You would instantly just like die of sepsis.
Yeah. The amount of like
diarrhea
you would get from eating.
Right.
Because that bacteria is different than the bacteria we're exposed to now. So it's like.
Yeah. So let's look at the climate and the whole ecosystem that we're reintroducing this ancient thing to.
Yeah. So the long and short of it, someone like the people that are looking to do this say that they're excited because this is going to help benefit elephant conservation. And it supposedly will also help fight global warming by restoring ecosystems in ways that could help reduce the amount of carbon being released in the atmosphere. Doesn't necessarily.
I'd like to hear more about that.
Give more details.
That doesn't make sense.
But. Other people are like, there are so many species going extinct today, we're actually not going to be able to help any of them if we're thinking about the woolly mammoth. So they're saying it's a distraction. So all that being said, I mean, this just reeks of Jurassic Park in so many ways.
Oh, absolutely.
If you could resurrect any creature,
man.
Which one would you want to resurrect? And then we'll follow that up with which one would be the worst one to bring back. Or we can start with the worst, if you want.
Well, they bring up the dodo bird in here.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a lot, I mean, since I was a kid, I've heard people speak of the dodo bird. And I've always wondered, I just like the name dodo bird. So I would say, what animal would I bring back? I feel like I would lean towards the dodo.
Wow. Of all the things to bring back, you choose the dodo bird. You know
what? You're goddamn right I would.
Humble man. I'd bring back Jesus, personally. Because what people don't realize is that Jesus is more of amphibian than he was mammal. And I think it'd be really cool to meet the Jesus frog, you know?
So he was kind of like a lizard person.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
In that same vein, yeah.
Yeah, right. You know? There you go.
I think that's, first off, great choice.
Thank you.
Absolutely great choice.
I can tell you what I wouldn't want to bring back. There's two of them.
Which you would not want to bring back.
What I would absolutely never want to see come back ever again. The megalodon. Get the fuck out of here. We don't need a megalodon rolling through the oceans. Also, that giant fucking alligator from Jurassic World.
Wait, sorry, you glitched right when you said that. I didn't hear what the animal was.
The giant fucking alligator from Jurassic World. Like, if you've seen those movies, that thing.
Yes.
Or I'm just like, absolutely, we don't need these giant abominations roaming the oceans. Like,
absolutely not. No.
No.
Like, those are two fantastic choices, by the way.
Yeah. I would hate that. I would never go in the ocean ever again. If those things existed, I'd be like, hard pass. I won't do it. Like,
I don't know.
No.
Yeah. I would never take another, I'd never go on a beach vacation. I would never go on a boat. I'd be hard pressed to want to fly over the ocean. Cause in my mind, I'd be like, what if they learn to jump?
No, that's like, if we land in the ocean, it's like, where's the gun that we have on board to just shoot ourselves in the head? Because I don't want to be here.
I don't want to do this.
Dear God. I remember taking Natalie to the Field Museum and they had like a megalodon exhibit. And we stood in the jaws of a megalodon. And I was like, fuck, why did these things exist? Like,
that's wild that you guys got to do that.
It's insane. I'm just like,
was it just humbling as far as size goes?
Oh, it was insane. It was insane. Yeah. We would be like, eating a human would be like eating like a fucking nerd, you know, like a little gumdrop, just like a Skittle to them. I'd be like, that also makes you wonder, what the fuck were they eating? What other things were large enough for them to consume on a regular basis to be full? You know, there had to be bigger shit too, you know?
Maybe it was those big alligators.
I guess. I don't know, man.
I'm just saying, but maybe.
Probably fucking squids and shit like that that were octopi or whatever. Like, Jesus Christ. It's just, yeah. If those things existed, I mean, it's bad enough that sharks and, I mean, how this shit in the ocean, we don't even know. We don't even know exists. I mean, the giant squids do exist or the giant octopus, whatever. I don't know. They've seen proof of that shit. Like, that's terrifying. But the idea that that thing is swimming around out there, just makes, talk about existential dread. Like, that's a world. It's like, well, cool. Congratulations. All shipping lanes are closed. You know,
right?
You want to go to,
oh, man.
You want to do war at sea? Guess what? There's good, there's an X factor. There's right. an X factor now.
Well, Doug, talk about things that you said, like if there's some existential threat that brings us together, maybe that would be the thing that we would all band together. We'd bring it back and then we'd be like, we need to kill it.
Well, I tell you what, you know, nowadays if someone's like, oh, cool, I just dropped a megalodon in there, that thing would be fucking dead. There's no way the thing would survive. Like the amount of just like sensory overload.
Eat? Oh, well, oh yeah, there's, with the, yes,
Christ. And not only that, it's like, you know, it would get one over on a couple of things, but then people would be like, all right, let's get our submarines out there. Let's take this thing down, you know? Although, arm God help me, I would not want to be in a submarine, you know? Because imagine it's like, World War, dude, here's our movie. Here's our pitch, right? Like, we always have
these. Oh, I love where your head just went to, yep.
Yeah, it's like World War II. Fucking Germans are out there in their U-boats. They're attacking the shipping lanes. They're nuking the British, you know, taking down those things. And then out of nowhere, something starts attacking. So the U-boats start going missing. They send out distress signals. They're like, what is it? What's it doing? What's happening?
We've lost communication. Like, we've lost communication.
And Hitler's like, we've got to find out what this is now. You know, and it's like, what did the British invent some new thing? Is it the Americans? What is it? It's a megalodon. And it's just wrecking shit. It's just wrecking it all up in the name of democracy. It's the American Megalodon. That's the movie, American Megalodon.
Well, it's like, what is it? Abraham Lincoln versus zombies, like all those crossovers.
Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Slayer.
Yes, all those different. That's what this is, American Megalodon.
American Megalodon. We train a megalodon to attack in the name of U.S. democracy.
This has to be the next Jason Statham movie.
Absolutely.
The Meg 3, American Megalodon.
Right? They train it. They find a way to communicate with it, and they get it on their side. And we change the course of human history because we have the Megalodon. But in a twist of fate, we abuse our power, and the Megalodon then turns on us. And we realize once again that you can't control nature. It's like Jurassic Park, but way worse.
And it's also an allegory for capitalism.
It's right, because capitalism is bad. Because at the end of the day, we thought early stage capitalism was good, but then by the end of it, late stage capitalism, it eats us all.
I just looked up most dangerous extinct animals, and there's a giant gorilla. Oh. And also, I forgot the Tyrannosaurus. Like, I feel like that running around on land. I mean, sure, we got the ocean. You can stay out of the ocean. If you the worst things to do would be resurrect ones on land where we kind of have to stay. It's not like we can just like, okay, we're living in the ocean now.
Yeah, you got raptors. It's like, awesome. Packs of raptors roaming around just ripping us to shreds, you know?
Yeah. Or the Giantopithecus.
Oh, is that like the giant ape?
That's the giant extinct ape. Which, dude, if this thing fucking came at me, there's a picture of a dude standing next to one, and the man barely comes up to its armpit.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be fucking terrifying.
Just giants just walking around. Yeah, obviously with the strength of the, because, I mean, gorillas and shit, like even chimpanzees could rip humans to shreds, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you add, you know, some extra inches, some feet,
up to 660 pounds.
Oh,
I'm trying to get a size on this thing, like a height description size. Here we go. Okay. About 12 foot tall.
Oh my God.
600 pounds. And dude,
12 feet, 600. Dude, that's pretty lean for a 12 foot tall creature. Like, that's, yo, that's
heavier than a male gorilla. Well, look, it's all, you know, his muscle.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're also talking about their teeth and their jaws. Like, this thing, dude. Ugh. Yeah, this would be a nightmare to just
because well, you also have to ask yourself,
the forest or the woods.
Well, if we were to resurrect them nowadays, I feel like we would have the firepower to put it back where we found it. You know,
yes, like. But that's I mean, you'd have like, to go out. You'd have to go out with that firepower in hand. Is the thing?
What we have
you
helicopters.
I don't think you just.
We have jets.
Well, yeah, but like I'm talking like if you're just like you're like oh cool we're gonna go on a hike. You're not bringing
bear spray.
You're not bringing stopping power with you. Exactly.
No.
I got bells on my shoes, so we'll let them know when
know,
we're coming.
So it knows where I am. So it knows get where me. I am. Yeah. If this were Helldivers 2, you'd come prepared to nuke that thing. That's for sure. I'll tell you that much.
Goddamn right. Absolutely.
I don't think an AR-15. I mean, AR-15 will do some damage to that thing, but it's going to take some hits before. Oof, boy. Yeah. I wonder how fast that would be, too.
Oh, dude. I wonder if it gives that. I don't know.
Something that's two Dougs tall just comes running at you out of the fucking...
Oh man!
Yes. Out of the brush, just baring its fangs, and you're like, ah! And you have nothing. You're fucking dead. You're dead. Fucking dead, bruv.
Speed, mph.
Yeah, miles per hour.
Fast.
How fat?
Doesn't say.
Is the Epithecus? I mean, if it's as fast as a fucking gorilla, I mean, gorillas
well,
are fast.
Again, yeah. Let's say it's that fast, but then it's got height, so it can move twice the distance, right?
Yeah, its gait is nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're not outrunning this fucking thing.
No.
Like, you're not outmaneuvering it.
Yeah, even if you see it coming and you start running, it's going to gain on you. Maybe it's a short distance kind of guy, you know? But if you're like, oh, no, and it ambushes you, you're fucking done. You're done. Game over, man. Jesus Christ, that would be terrifying.
Yeah.
I'd say that bringing back most of these things would be a terrible idea.
It would be not a good idea for sure.
I'm curious because I will say the curiosity inside of me is like it's interesting that we would have that technology. I would like to find a very constructive way to put that to use. Resurrecting something that's long since gone. I don't know.
I think,
again, as a scientist,
yes,
I need to see more white papers that are going to describe to me the official use of this and its applications in the layman society. You know what I mean?
I'm thinking
with all you dumb-dubs out there.
I'm thinking it'd be nice to bring back one of those rhinos that recently met its maker.
Yeah.
I feel like
we bring Harambe back?
A cheap shit. Well, now we're going we're just going specific.
Yeah.
Can we bring Harambe back? At this play at this point.
I just want to bring Harambe back. I feel like he deserves justice.
Okay, so Doug's talk about necromancing.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm into this.
The way you said that, necromancing sounds like a weird way of romancing. Oh, so you're talking about necromancing, and I'm like,
Doug,
you know,
you want to get down with Harambe?
you want to necromance?
You want
Harambe?
You want to see how fast Harambe was?
I'll show you.
Let me tell you, ooh-woo, not the sound you'll be making.
I don't have that available and it's too long. So, you know. Oh, there we go. That works.
Bingo. That's it.
Don't need to do the 13-second man screaming. That's fine. That's good.
I will admit, it is interesting that we're at a point where we're considering this and we're approaching a point where it's possible. To bring back something that has been so long gone, I don't see that benefit. I would say, why don't we focus on more recently extinct things that we can bring back that might be better suited for the current environment that we're living in.
I think we have to ask ourselves why.
Right.
Why? And we have 100%. To ask ourselves why 5 times and get down to the real root of this. Why are we doing this? Just because we can? Or is there a real reason to spend the time and resources to do this? If it's to be like, hey, we have this technology, so something really important is to go extinct, we can reintroduce it and re-engineer it so we bring it back in the system so that system doesn't collapse. Okay.
If now we're talking like, about,
hey, check it out. You guys want to see an even cooler alligator that used to exist?
Look what we can do now. Hold my beer.
It was bipedal. You know, which seems like, oh, it's not as fast. It's way more terrifying.
When that thing rears up and just starts coming at you? Yeah. No, thank you.
Because it slams its head on you, knocks you down, and then it bites you and twists you into oblivion. So. Yeah.
Well, I also think that, I don't know, like we're running out of natural, we're mowing those spaces down. So we're going to bring back giant woolly mammoths and put them where?
Right.
You know? I don't know.
I will say again, not to belabor the point, but like the fact that it is at least connected genetically to elephants is something where I'm like, well, hopefully their diet is similar and we could like possibly reintroduce them into a way that at least it's connected with something else. Whereas, you know, as a scientist, you know, if you're going to bring back, you know, a megalodon, that's just irresponsible because like, what the fuck is that thing going to do, you know?
But to that end, I would say like, have we done the, like, do we know like the same fruits and whatever else that it ate, are they still as plentiful as they were when they were around? I don't know.
I mean, they can get substitutes. It's fine. You know,
just make them a protein
sour cream.
We'll
give
fine.
Them Greek non-fat yogurt. They'll be fine. They won't know
they'll
the
be
difference.
Fine. They won't know oh, the good. Difference. They've been gone for a while. Okay.
They're a bunch of dummies. They don't know.
Right.
They don't know.
You know what? Doing this just doesn't seem practical to me.
Goddamn right it doesn't.
Got the questions, we got the answers. All you do is ask. Practical, 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 practical. Ask Practical Doug.
So, okay, okay. If we okay. haven't been here in a minute, but this is one of our old school favorite segments called Ask Practical Doug. And Practical Doug is a tiny Doug that lives inside of Large Doug and helps guide Doug through all of life's journeys through the hard questions and helps Doug make the right decisions. And if you want to ask Practical Doug a question, you can on social media at MindGapPodcast, hashtag Ask Practical Doug, or pop on over to that Discord server we mentioned earlier. And there's a channel for Ask Practical. Is there still a channel for Ask Practical
there
Doug?
There is. Thanks for noticing.
Okay, cool. We did not get rid of it. But yes, there's a channel for Ask Practical Doug, and you can ask them the question. And if it's a good one, we might even answer it on the podcast. But today, we go back to the Am I the Asshole well, and we're trying to answer the question here. Am I the asshole for calling out my nephew for claiming AI-generated art as his own in an effort to outshine his cousin? So the nephew claimed that AI-generated art was his own in an attempt to outshine the cousin. So, the story involves two of my nephews, who we'll call Greg, 16, and Bill, 17, who are not brothers.
Important distinction.
Bill has been taking art classes lately and has put up a few of his works on our family's Facebook group. Gross. After a few family members replied with how proud they were of Bill, Greg posted some digital images of far, far higher quality that he claimed were his own. His tone was mocking of Bill, as he had commented that he taught himself and didn't need school. Additionally, he had posted some rather harsh criticisms of Bill's art. A few of her older family members complimented Greg and were naturally blown away. But then I noticed a very few obvious signs of AI art generation, like weird hands, for example. So I called him out on it. I pointed out to the family that Greg had not made these, but instead they were created using a website. Greg was first defensive, but then took the images down without admitting guilt. I want to be clear that I only called Greg out because he was obviously trying to one-up Bill, who is putting legitimate effort into his work. Greg's mom reached out to me and said that she understood but wished I'd talked to her rather than posting out there for the family to see, because now Greg feels too ashamed to talk to the family. Boo-hoo. I can appreciate that, but my concern is that if Greg had merely taken the images down without any explanation, then there would remain the idea in people's heads that Greg was, unfairly, the superior artist in the family. Greg's father, on the other hand, says I'm an ass, since he sees it as me bullying a kid a decade younger than me. Was I an asshole on this one? Practical Doug, what say you?
No! No, you weren't.
It is decided.
Well, because if, again, we always take this with a grain of salt, that if everything we're reading here is true and accurate, if Greg is creating digital art and using it as a way to publicly criticize and brag then what goes around comes around when it comes to publicly putting stuff out there. If you are going to criticize people's stuff, mm-hmm. if you're going to claim that you've done something, then you need to be also prepared to take public criticism all the same. So to put in there like, yeah, look, I did all the stuff and I didn't need to go to school for it. And look how good it is. It's like, okay, well, you didn't make that. And then if he just takes it down and isn't afraid, because this is a good, actually, this is a really good lesson for Greg in that you've got to be really careful with criticizing other people's shit and also claiming shit that isn't yours. Like if you're like, look what I did, and people are like, I don't think you did that. And then you just run away in shame and you're like, I'm too embarrassed, too ashamed to talk to the family. Well, you're going to have to fucking get over that because you did it. Come out. I know he's 16. Come out and be like, hey, I made these. They're not real. I didn't draw them. I AI generated these and whatever. And then deal with the consequences. But that's very much a 16-year-old solution, which is like, I'm going to quietly remove this and never speak of it again. Right. That's a Cochrane household classic tactic to do
was
that.
Was this your family?
Yeah, right.
Oh, dog.
Might as well have been. But, you know, it's just like Greg obviously wants attention. Bill's getting attention. Mm-hmm. He wants the same attention, but he can't draw. He's not putting in the effort to learn how to do it. And so he's like, look what I can do. I mean, if you want to make an argument about AI generated art and whatever and yada, yada. But let's not pretend that you made that art. You typed in a prompt to get the art. That's not the same as drawing it. So I think one is very different than the other. So I would say that the poster here is not an asshole. I don't think calling that. Part of me would be like, maybe you should have a private discussion. But nah, if this kid's fucking being public with his criticism and being open and about that sort of stuff, then especially if he's going to claim something that he didn't really do, he should be called out on it. Because if he's looking for public adulation, then he should be prepared to receive the other side of that as well.
Yeah. Well, and also if he's dragging Bill, you know, and then he gets dragged and he's like, oh, poor me. Well, fucking suck it up, man. Like, turnabout's fair, but that's what it is, you know?
Yeah. It's not bullying to call someone out on their shit.
No.
Bullying would be like, Greg, you can't draw for shit.
Right.
Try harder. Oh, this is obviously Jesus. AI. What's the matter, Greg? You can't draw yourself, you big dipshit. Like, that's bullying.
That's
to be
bullying.
Like, hey,
right.
This is AI generated art. You didn't draw this. That's not bullying. That's called facts.
That is stating a fact. Exactly.
Yeah. Those are called
also,
facts.
You know, we all know that the older generation is not good at discerning what is true and what is not on the internet. So really, the poster was doing a service for everyone. He was helping his cousin Bill, his nephew Bill. He was teaching Greg a valuable lesson, and he was protecting the elderly is really what he was doing.
I agree. I agree on all these things because, I understand being like protective of your kid, you know? But I have to say, if Natalie was doing this shit, I'd be the first one to be like, hey, did you get called out on your shit? How'd it feel?
Don't do it again.
Kinda sucks.
Yeah.
How about you don't do that? Did you learn a lesson?
What did we learn here? Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And obviously if the original poster continued to be a dick after the fact, after everything was resolved, then we'd have some problems, but I'd be like, hey, listen, hope you learned something. And honestly, I mean this with all sincerity, good lesson to learn. Because if you learn this at 16, and if this sticks with Greg, and he learns, he's like, shit, this was just with my family. This was a shit experience. If he does this in public to other people, boy, can the ramifications on that be very serious. So
the internet lives forever.
And learns from this because yikes,
yowza
in your trousers.
Yowza in your trouser, not the asshole.
That's right. It's done. Welcome.
It is decided.
Yes. Justin.
Yes, Doug.
Do you have to recommend for this week? Oh, Jill will be very happy about this recommendation.
I am recommending what absolutely deserved to be, it was in contention, but absolutely deserved to be right up there with every other film was American Fiction. This film I watched twice in as many days. And I got more out of it the second time I watched it, and I fully plan to watch it again. I am in love with this film, American Fiction by Cord Jefferson. First and foremost, first-time filmmaker. He's worked in the industry, but this is the first film he wrote and directed. And fucking knocked it out of the ballpark. absolutely knocked it out. And if you have not seen his acceptance speech at the Oscars, oh my God, thank God I was sitting down because my knees went weak as soon as I heard him speak. Everything he said was just fucking brilliant. Jeffrey Wright, Sterling K. Brown, Issa Rae, Leslie Uggams, Erica Alexander. The cast was phenomenal. Acting was great. Script was amazing. It had subtext. It was funny. It was touching. It hit all the fucking notes. I cannot recommend American Fiction enough. It was such a pleasant watch. I feel like this is the type of film, Beth and I were talking about it, this is the type of film that Drew and I have lamented it has gone the way of the dodo, if you will.
Yeah.
The mid-budget, mid-tier film that just was the kind of one that you went and it sat with you for a little while. It wasn't a giant blockbuster. It wasn't a teeny little indie film. It was right in the middle, and it was the one that was character driven and story driven, and you don't see those that often. And the fact that this one was done so well and got the accolades that it got, could not be happier. So that gives me hope for the cinematic future. Go watch American Fiction.
That's awesome. Doug, Jill went out of her way to go see that in the movie theater, and she doesn't do that these days.
That's awesome.
So she absolutely was pumped to see that movie, and she really enjoyed it as well.
What was it that made her? Was it because it was about an author and she's into books?
Yeah, it's about books. She loved the whole concept behind it. Yeah. So Jill's a big book nerd, as you remember from being on last week. Big book nerd, and that totally caught her eye. And she's like, she loves all the actors in it and everything like that. So she was a big fan of it. So
hardcore recommend. Dougie, what do you got?
So, as I said last week, I've been on a hardcore A24 film, just marathon watch. I've watched.
I love that you've been doing this, by the way.
Oh, dude, it has been such a change.
It's very cool.
Pace. And so, I was very interested in this one. Dream Scenario, starring Nicolas Cage.
Okay.
Just came out on Max, part of their A24 collection. What I love so much about A24 films is they often have really fascinating premises to tell a story that oftentimes I have to go and read. Well, can you explain this movie to make sure that I understand it? Because I'm like, I don't know if I get it. It's usually a pretty simplistic story that's wrapped around a very unique premise. And sometimes I can get lost in like, what was this movie about? But essentially the point of this is Nicolas Cage plays a very forgettable professor. And he's just an average guy, happily married, has a family, moderately successful, but ultimately just like forgettable. This phenomenon happens where he starts showing up in everyone's dreams, like around the world. They just dream of him and he's just in their dreams. And it tells the story of this guy who's a nobody who becomes a somebody, and he becomes popular and people are like, oh my God, it's Paul, and he doesn't know how to handle it. And it's fascinating. It's just it's a really strange and unique premise, and I love the idea of it. And it's very interesting. It tells a very, very interesting story. And you didn't hear about – you weren't here last week, but I went on a streak with A24 films where I watched five in a row where the dog died. And so the joke now is when I say I'm watching an A24 film, Jill goes, did the dog die? And I was like, I'll be in the middle of it. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think there's a dog in this one, but we'll find out.
We'll find out. Because
there was one where I'm like, oh, this one for sure won't have a dog in it. It takes place in space. Boy, was I wrong. Boy, was I wrong.
Those are the hardest ones for me. I watch people die all day, but when a dog dies, it
hurts. One, there was a flashback where the dog died. I'm like, oh, okay.
God, I didn't see that coming. Yeah.
You fucking assholes. But then there's another ship that's just full of dogs and a lot of them are dead. I'm like, oh, cool. All right. Could have been more wrong with this film. This film was lousy with dogs. Like, of all that's the ones I didn't think it would be, this was the one. I'm like, for sure, this won't be in here. Oh, it was.
That's the mark of a good film when they give you that curveball and you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming.
I was like, I didn't expect
a spaceship full of dead dogs.
So I was like, I'm 5 for 5. I'm killing it right now. I should say the dogs are getting killed. So
how many A24 films have you watched so far?
Oh my God. I counted. I think I've maybe somewhere between 7 and 10 at this point in time.
Damn, man. That's look, the way A24 films go, you're either going to walk away from this enlightened or you're going to have an existential breakdown.
Yeah. A lot of them, they don't have happy endings.
Exactly. Yep.
But they're very, very interesting. So I'll be recommending a lot of those in the weeks to come of all the ones that I've watched. There's a couple that I will not be recommending because I'm like, nope, I'm good.
You and I need to have a conversation off mic about those because I'm very curious which ones they are. When Dream Scenario came out.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, same as you, I have not yet seen it, but I was thrilled at the concept because, again, it's one of those I've never seen this played out before. Like, this was truly a unique story. And I'm like, those are just so refreshing. When you get something, you're like, wow, this is pure unique. This is fantastic.
Well, again, they tell a very simple story with a very, like, the concept of what they're trying to portray in this is told in an extremely unique way. Right. And
what happens if you get famous like that?
And yeah, exactly. That's what it is. It's like, how do you do with fame? It's like, and it's not like they could tell the story. It was like, oh my God, his podcast blew up. Mm-hmm. And what? It's like, no, he's showing up in everyone's dreams. It's
what
like,
the fuck is happening right now? Yeah.
And so people know who he is. Like, they're like, holy shit, you were in my dream. You know,
well, and the fact that from the trailer, mm-hmm. some of them are pleasant, some of them are sexual, some of them are horrifying. So people have different feelings about this guy, you know?
Yeah. It's very, very interesting. It tells a very interesting story. But yeah, in general, and there's something I want to talk to you about off mic. I mentioned last week with Jill, but there's a scene I want you to watch.
Okay.
That I think will be impactful. Not from this one, but it's from a different movie that I think I want to get your take on it. I would love to do it on this show. So
cool. Love it.
Stay tuned.
Love it.
All right. Well, gang, thanks for tuning in this week. We appreciate you, as always. Be sure to check out the link in the description for links to our Discord, to our Patreon, to our merch at Redbubble. Hit the like button, subscribe, leave a comment. What creature would you want to bring back from the dead? Which one would you not want to? All that good stuff. Let us know, and we would sorely appreciate it. Check out the video game streams on Fridays at 8 p.m. Central Time and all of our social medias at MindGap Podcast, and check out Justin as well.
On Instagram at Justin_Michael, spelled MIKEL. It's the fun way of spelling it. And when you're in the online realm, go ahead and check us out on any platform where you can find podcasts. You can find us. Like, subscribe, share, rate, review, all those things. The big one is sharing, though. Please let people know that we exist. And then TuiEstathe.com, TuiEstathe on all social media, LoveAndImprovFilm.com, and LoveAndImprovFilm on Instagram.
Woo! All right, gang. Well, from the bottom of my hearts, I'm going to say, Justin, thank you.
Douglas, thank you.
Listeners, viewers, thank you, and you all have a dandy fucking week.
Mind Gap Podcast.